Good morning. Welcome to September. Oh, there's a few excited people about. Welcome to worship today. My name's Mike, one of the leaders. Martin's going to be speaking, but there's all sorts of other things to put in the service. So if you're visiting, you're really welcome, and you're welcome anyway. So a scripture that is very much a well-known one. God says, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Would we like our land to be healed? Yes. Yes, let's turn to God. Let's start in worship, song worship. Thanks.
Morning, everyone. Would you stand with us if you're able to, please, as we enter into God's presence this morning?
Entering, entering, it's called.
sit down and we're going to pray together. Father God, we bring our thanksgiving. Bring our thanks to you. We come to you to give ourselves to you again. We come to you to listen to to listen to your word. We come to you to be ready to serve you. Thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you draw near to us so we can draw near to you. We bring you our thanksgiving. Amen. Notices. You might not say, well, it's more, are you sitting comfortably? Notices. Sunday Club, you restarts fully this morning. Ellen's leading you out. X Club for year 7, 8 and 9, out at the same time. And older youth, first Sunday in the month, you're staying in for Martin's message. Martin's loan message. Something new. Thursday morning, we're starting community coffee, 10 till 12. Part of it is to attract and reintroduce people who were part of the King's Corner morning sessions. But this is not just King's Corner down at BBC. It's anybody who wants to come on a Thursday between 10 and 12, trying to encourage the idea of drop-in, not sleep-in, not stay-in. But that's Thursday, 10 o'clock. I think we're calling it craft for the uncrafty, as opposed to the experts that meet on a Monday afternoon to do all sorts of craft. But that's every Thursday, 10 o'clock. Next Sunday, ladies' breakfast is back. And he is awake, isn't he? Has he been awake? He's had a holiday. Ladies' breakfast is next Saturday, not Sunday, as I was just saying. Jill, who is on shooting, has got the list if you would like to make sure she has your name. And a message from Helen Godfrey. Helen and Gareth aren't here, so I need to read it word for word. The Breakfast Club team that meet on a Saturday are running an Alpha Youth Group this coming school year just for young people in years 7, 8 and 9. Alpha Youth is an interactive series for young people to explore the Christian faith and life's big questions. Each session includes time to connect over food, breakfast. We'll meet one Saturday morning each month from 9 to 10:30, starting on Saturday the 20th of September. And for details, speak to Esther, because she's here, or contact Helen Godfrey. You ready for the email address? partypoppet@outlook.com. Word for word and done. Let's really spend our time now in sung worship, bringing worship and connecting to God. Do stand if you can.
Praise on the
take a few seconds to stand there and realize all that you have in Jesus. Thank you, you are Lord of all. Amen. We quite like acronyms, don't we? But SUS doesn't really roll off the tongue for a sign-up Sunday, because it's not a bit sus. So there's brochures with all the stuff for everything that we do in small groups, all been prepared. It's all there. Tell you what, why don't we have something on the screen? It might be more interesting. Okay. So have we got any year six children here? Anybody in year six? Year five? Year four? Three? So any of you, put your hand up and shout out somebody you can see on the screen, but put your hand up first. Shout their name. Okay, anybody in year seven? Shout loud. Do you hear what John was mumbling at the front? He's calling you all dead horses. Flogging. Okay, so these are the people who will be leading our discipleship groups. And I'll tell you in a little while how you're able to meet up and talk to them. So those are all of our various discipleship groups, night time, evening, I think morning. So that's that one. I've got the clicker, you can do it. And interest groups, many of these things like the golf or the excellent Monday afternoon Catherine craft group, people will, as they just say, be rolled over and so on. I still think Helen stayed away on purpose because she's called it Take a Hike. Well, so lots of things there. Literally, if you are reasonably new, have a look round and see if you can recognize any of those faces. Not quite everyone is here, but those are the interest groups. Meet different times, all in the info. So this is everybody, 27 people leading groups. There are 19 small groups of all sorts running. Brackets, it seems like a disclaimer, doesn't it? Some leaders run more than one small group. Well, it's really good that they do. So, I mean, thank you for that. Okay, next one. What can you get from being part of a small group? These are some comments from those who attend. I really do want somebody who's about 10, 11, who's quite happy reading what's on the screen, to come and take the microphone and read them as they come up, because some of them are a bit faint and you'll get fed up with me. All right, if you're not fed up with me, I'll take over clicking and then I know where I might be. You get friends and fellowship. You get a place to share how you feel about things. You build relationships, able to talk about things you need to talk about. It's in the middle of the week, and you might just have an empty week, or you might have a really, really busy week, but you still want to meet together. Sense of belonging. There's lots of, I don't know, must be 200 of us in the room. Is there anybody in the back hall? There's a few. But being able to get to know people that little bit deeper. A chance to meet some new people. And it'd be great if you've not been part of small groups to be able to sign up to a group. A chance to chat and discuss. You notice so far no mention of food, which is unbelievable for Biggles Way Baptist Church. There's time yet. place to build one another up. We can come on a Sunday, we can listen to the word, we can worship, and you can have a rotten Monday. But if you've got a small group on a Tuesday, there's a chance to be picked up and build one another up. Fun and relationship building. I don't quite know what the fun is, but no, lots of ways to do all sorts of different things together. Learn new skills. These are the things that people have actually said are their experiences. Getting support and getting care. Learning to trust one another. And helping us gain a deeper understanding of God's word. That's not that that was the least important, so it came last, but it fitted in the bottom, didn't it? Is there another one? Oh, the red one. Yeah, I don't like any team that plays in red. Helps us become better disciples. All sorts of different things. Some that are very personal, some that are essential as we grow in faith. So, I was waving that around. That's available. That's available online. And the different ways of signing up. Church Suite, there's a section on the website. You can leave a message or you can mail the office. And what we have out the back are loads of stalls. I have noticed that some of them contain food. She's all right. Some of them contain food, which might not last if you're last going out there. But go and have a look at all the different things that are out there and look to think about a small group and then sign up for a small group. If you're already a member, as I said, of the interest groups or the afternoon or PALS, you've automatically been rolled over. But if you don't want to continue, do let your leader know. But really important, if you want to join one of the discipleship groups, sign up as soon as you can. No, not yet. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for those people who are willing to give their time to lead, to prepare, to share, to open their homes, to enable us to grow together in your love and in your truth. And we now just pray for all of those that you will anoint them with your Holy Spirit as they share and lead and help us to grow together. And Father, thank you for what we can receive from being part of small groups and what we can give from being part of small groups. Build us together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But it's September and there's loads more that goes on about small groups.
Point about the small groups is that they equip us or help to equip us along with Sundays to live our lives in the world where we are. God's placed us in jobs, in situations and other things where we spend much more time than we do here in church. So we want to make sure that as Christians we're able to be faithful witnesses in the world where we are. So one of the things that we want to do today is, yes, we're talking about the importance of the new term of small groups, but it's also a chance after the summer holidays to kind of have a new start, and more of that later. But rather than just pray for the things that are starting up in church and for those who are leading those groups in church, we wanted to take this opportunity to pray for everybody. Okay, now we're not going to have a long list of if you're doing this, stand up, if you're doing that, stand up. I'm just going to pray over all of us here for whatever you're facing this month. As you might be going for a new job, There's at least three of our young people who are off to university. Let me see if I can get this right. There's Ben, and there's Joel, and there's Tawana. If she's here, are you here, Tawana? Can't see her. Is there anybody else going off to university for the first time? We've got all three. They're very quiet this morning, aren't they, Mike? Yeah. And whatever else is going on in your life at this time. So I'm just going to pray. Please take this as a commissioning prayer to you to be a witness to Jesus wherever he's called you to be, if you're a Christian this morning. Father, thank you for the many opportunities we have to get to know you and also to make you known. Father, we do thank you for the small groups here at BBC. We thank you for the other activities involving children and young people and senior citizens. We thank you for the way that you help us to use this building to reach out with the love of Jesus to those around us. And Lord, we do just want to rededicate all of those to you. But also we want to pray for one another at this time of restart. And Lord, I want to pray for everyone here who knows you, Jesus, that you would fill them afresh with your Spirit, that you would give them grace and strength and confidence to live for you where you have called them to be on their front lines. Lord, we pray as a church that you would help us to encourage and equip and build up one another to be witnesses for you. And then finally, Lord, would you just pray for those three of our young people who are going off to university for the first time? For Ben, for Joel, for Tawana. May they know your closeness and your presence as they go into a new situation. May they know your peace. May they know your joy. And may they find you in the places they go to. And may they share you in those places too. Just as we pray for each and every one of us, that we might be lights that shine for Jesus in this dark world. In his name we pray. Amen.
So all of those up to and including Year 9, Sunday Club and X Club, we're going to go out to those activities while we sing the next song.
And this next song is really a continuation of that prayer, that as we seek to live for God, we would know more of his love and of his power and of his grace. If you're able to stand with us, please do.
Oh, Dear God, we thank you that you are our Lord. And we do pray that that is something that each of our children that have just gone out to their sessions in time will be able to claim for themselves as well, that you are their Lord and their Saviour. Lord, do pray for them, pray for the leaders who have given up of their time, both in preparing for their sessions and now in delivering them. And just pray for a great sense of your love, your joy, and your presence with them. Amen. Just before Martin comes to preach, our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. If anyone's following in the Bibles we have in church, it's on page 971. But Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Thank you, Cliff. I've alluded to it already, but really we should probably have started today's service by wishing one another Happy New Year. Because it is technically the start of a new church year, the start of a new school year, a new academic year, and all that stuff. Unlike January, September is when everything really starts. So, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Oh, thanks. That's so nice. And as we begin a new year in the life of the church, it's a good opportunity to stop and to think about our priorities. What is going to be so important for us going forward into this next year? And as we think about this new year, all that it brings, just ask yourself now, what are your priorities? What is it that is most important to you right now? So important that you're willing to invest time, money, and effort in it to see it come to fruition. I want you to think about that. I want you to do something really, really brave. I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them what your priority is. Get a better job, bigger house. I want to spend more time with my family. If it's Joel or Ben or Tawana, probably. I just want to get through Freshers Week and get established in university. And those are all really good things to have as priorities. But in Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24, Jesus makes it very clear that for anyone claiming to be his follower, there is one priority that should always come top for us, and that is our relationship with God. It's the most important thing any human being can do, because the Bible tells us we were created to have relationship with God, to be known by God, to know God, to be loved by God, and to love God. So this really is the big priority for all human beings, but particularly if you've given your life to Jesus and you claim to be his follower. What does that mean to make our relationship with God our priority? About 30 years ago, the preacher would say, make sure you have at least a 20-minute quiet time every morning. And you stop at lunchtime to say your prayers, and you witness to at least 5 people every day, stuff like that. That's not actually it. But it is about finding ways to always live aware of God's presence with us. In the Bible, Jesus says, I will always be with you, even to the end of the age. So it is a fact that Jesus is with us. He's with us right here, right now. What is not always so clear is whether we're aware that he's with us. So our task in seeking to make our relationship with God a priority is, first of all, to look for where we can find Jesus, where we can become aware of his presence. That will involve spending time in his word and in prayer, but not solely that. The next thing is, we could base our decisions and our relationships on God's direction through his word and his spirit. We can live with a commitment and a determination to live for his honour and glory. Or in Jesus' words here in the passage, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. He says it another way in verse 33 of this chapter, when he says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, what things? The things we worry about, the things that we want to make sure we get sorted out, our other priorities, all these things will be given to you as well. But we have a problem. It's a very simple problem, but it seems to be a problem that so many of us can't get out of. And our problem is that we have got things backwards. In fact, we've not just got things backwards, we've got them upside down and inside out. We think in our society, if we can earn more money, get a newer car, a bigger house, a better job, a healthier and sexier body. I mean, come on, you can't get better money. We'll be okay. And so we pursue these things. You just have to look at the titles in the bookshops about growing a healthier you, 5 ways to get a beach ready body, whatever that might mean. Put your trunks on. Thank you, Bill. Yes. You're just showing off now, aren't you? 10 steps to success in your personal life, 7 steps to success in your career, self-help books, all this stuff, all over, programs on TV and all this sort of stuff. The whole thing is geared up to encourage us to pursue these things. And we see it too, don't we? We've seen it in the news again recently. People buying bigger houses and not paying all the tax that they're supposed to pay. People in positions of power looking for ways to use their position for personal gain. People using their power to take land that belongs to somebody else or to another nation. Because the message to Russia is, we'll be safer if we've got Ukraine as a buffer state from those evil people in the West. So if you want a safer, healthier, more prosperous Russia, you need to invade people. I say Russia, but I could put any country in the world in there over the last 2,000 years, and so often the excuse is because we want to make ourselves feel safer or whatever. There are so many disputes going on in our world at the moment because people are trying to store up treasures on earth for themselves. More land, more power, more money, more influence, more security. And sadly, we see it in our homes and our places of work too, sometimes even in our churches. Because we've got it all back to front, upside down and inside out. Tom Wright has this to say about this attitude. The central priority is God himself. No question about the importance of putting God first. But often different things start to take over, not least when they bring money or fame. And he's right, isn't he? You look at anybody that you know who has come into money or has risen to a position of fame or influence, whether they're a politician or a sports person or a musician or anything else that goes in there, and suddenly something seems to go to their head. Is the microphone not working? I did wonder. This one.
Okay, thank you. Is this one working? Well, this one's working, yeah. You're very good sitting there not telling me that you can't hear me. Of course, that is assuming that I haven't got a big mouth and that you can't hear me. Yes, I know. Remember there was a story of a vicar once, it's caught on my chain. Story of a vicar who was having trouble with the microphone, and he said, can you hear me? And someone said, yes, but I don't mind changing with someone who can't. But Tom Wright's right. Different things start to take over when we take our eye off of God and we put them onto other things. And it doesn't have to be money or fame. It might be health. It might be a relationship. It might be family. It might be church. We can make an idol of church. That's called religion. And we don't like religion because Jesus didn't come to make a religion. He came to enable us to have relationship with him. And I know that I, for one, can identify with what Tom Wright says here. I've done this, I've experienced this, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. And the key, Jesus says, the key to this lies in our eyes, funnily enough. Not which colour they are, not how, whether we need bifocals or varifocals or no focals, or anything like that, but where we focus them. Where do we focus our gaze? Because if we focus them on the things of the earth, then the light in our eyes becomes darkness because it's focused on things that don't last. It's focused on things that are trying to pull us away from God. Even though they might seem good in themselves, if anything distracts us from God, no matter if it seems good in itself, it is not good for us. What's that old saying? Not all that glitters is gold. Sometimes human beings can be a bit like magpies. You know, we walk along, oh, something shiny, let's go and have a look at that. Or something new, let's go and have a look at that. Whatever it is, taking our eyes off of the prize, which is Jesus. And these things will promise much on the surface, and they draw us in, only somewhere down the line to disappoint us, let us down, or trap us in that endless spiral of wanting more. And that could be addiction, and I don't just mean drugs and alcohol, I mean chocolate, or certain types of food, or not eating food, all that sort of stuff. Money, obviously, or sex, or any of the other things we've thought about already. But if we focus our eyes on the things of God, we find ourselves in a whole different story. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Where do we fix our eyes? Where is our focus? If your focus is on Taylor Swift, you're going to be disappointed. Partly because of music's naff, but never mind. If your focus is on Virgil van Dijk, you're going to be disappointed. If your focus is on the England football, cricket, rugby, hockey, baseball, lacrosse, table tennis, put in there whichever particular sport you like, you are going to be disappointed. If you put your focus on another person to sort out all the problems in your life, you are going to be disappointed. But if we put our focus on the things of God, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, we build up treasure that's going to last. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "Since you've been raised with Christ, set your things on set your hearts even on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." Now, we've seen this before, and we said it's not about pie in the sky when you die. It's not about becoming too heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. It's about looking to Jesus and seeing him in his power and his glory and his authority and his majesty right now. And as we see him, we remember what he's done, what he's capable of, and what he's promised us to do. And we fix our eyes on him because we know he will never let us down. He will never abandon us. We can rely 100% on Jesus. So look for where God is at work. Seek after God in your daily life. Choose to live a life that honors and glorifies him. Go into your workplace with the attitude, "Lord, I know that you're going to be in my workplace today. Help me to see you and help me to show you to other people by the way I live." It's about learning to live in the presence of our loving Father and learning to do everything for him and him alone. So check your eyes this morning. What are they focused on? Because what we focus on is what we want to give our attention to and what we spend most of our time and our effort and our energy and even our money on. Where are we looking? And then we have a practical challenge. Jesus says we cannot serve two masters no matter how hard we try. I have a memory that Ali might dispute this. Of going to see a play, something along the line of One Man, Two Governors. Oh, we must have watched it on the telly or something. Okay, we watched it on the telly. It was a TV rendering of the play. Let's go with that, shall we? And just the knots and the contortions that the main character had to go through in order to satisfy both of his masters and also to try not to let one master know that the other master was there. It was comical, but it made a point. You cannot serve two masters. There will always come a point when we have to choose one over the other. And so Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and money. Money has great power, doesn't it? Money has power over those who don't have it and long for it. Money has power over those who have it but always want more of it. Money can buy influence. Money can buy status. Money can buy all sorts of things. And that's why Jesus warns us in that often misquoted verse that the love of money is the root of all evil. See, if anyone ever tells you money is the root of all evil, that's wrong. That's like saying trees are the root of all evil. Well, at least they've got roots, haven't they? But it's the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of something that is trying to take God's place in our lives that is the root of all evil. Money demands the love that is God's by right. So the challenge for those of us who follow Jesus is to learn how to harness money and make it our servant in the building of God's kingdom, bringing it under his authority and using it to bless others whenever we have the opportunity. Because ultimately, if we believe in what the Bible says, the money isn't ours anyway, it's God's in the first place. And we don't want to be like the chap who said, I have this arrangement with God about my money. He says, I throw it all up in the air, whatever God wants he catches, and the rest I can keep. That's not how it works either. The Bible teaches us that money, all money, is God's, and he gifts it to us at whatever level he gifts it to us, through the job and through family connections and whatever else. And the Bible teaches us to bring the first fruits of our money and everything else, we'll be looking at this later on, to God first. It's not about giving God what's left over at the end of the week or the end of the month. It's about giving God out of the first fruits of what we have. So thinking, okay, how much am I going to give God this week, this month? Not can I spare 50p for the collection, which we don't have anymore, because we encourage you to give online anyway. One of those attitudes shows that money is our master. The other attitude shows that it's not, that God is. So we can't serve two masters. So the next question, as we think about things this morning, is, are you trying to serve two masters? Am I trying to serve two masters? Or is God the sole master of my life? And it doesn't have to be money. It can be our feelings. It can be our hopes and our dreams. It can be those priorities that we talked about earlier on. And we know that something's becoming our master when it takes up more of our time and more of our effort and more of our energy and more of our focus. We cannot serve two masters. And then there's one part I've not mentioned yet, I'm just going to finish with, which is in verse 21, where Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So as well as checking our eyes, we check our heart. What are we most drawn towards? What do we want to spend most of our time doing? Who do we want to spend most of our time with? How do we want to spend most of our time? Where we put our efforts, our energy, our resources, and our focus, that will reveal where our treasure is. Remember, I said right at the start, we've got things backwards, upside down, and inside out. If you want to turn things the right way round, we make God our priority and we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. So there's a challenge to all of us this morning, wherever we are in our life with Jesus, whatever's going on in the world, whatever's going on in our place of work and our family, the challenge is to seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness in those situations. And Jesus says, when you do that, all the other things we need will be given to us as well. So if we're thinking, I need a different job, I need a better body, I need whatever it is. If we place that under the authority of God, under his kingdom and his righteousness, that's the right way to do it. And who knows, we could get a better body for the glory of God. Join Gutbusters on a Thursday night. That's one of our small, I don't know if it's an interest group or a punishment group, I'm not sure. I want to understand more about what it means to be a Christian. Get involved, get into God's word. How can I witness to God at work? Get involved, get in a small group, get into God's word. Because when we start from the right position, and that reminds me of another silly story, which I might as well tell now I'm thinking it. There was a guy travelling in the countryside one day, and he wanted to get to a particular town, and he stopped and asked a local. He said, "Excuse me, good fellow, how can I get to wherever it might be?" And the bloke turns around and said, "Well, I wouldn't start from here." We need to start from the right place, from the right position, which is making God the priority in our life. And just a word, if you're not a Christian and you're here this morning, you come with some friends, you come because you want to find out what this church stuff's all about, whatever it is. If you're not a Christian, the first priority for you is also to make a connection with God, because God wants you to know that you are loved and that you are precious to him. And that as long as you're not in a relationship with Jesus, your life is going to be building treasure on earth where rust destroys and vermin eats up. So a challenge there is, if you're not a Christian yet, find out more about what it means to follow Jesus. Ask the person you've come with, come and talk to me, anyone who's been up the front this morning, we'd love to share that with you. When we start from the right position, we build up treasures in heaven, but we also experience them here and now, because salvation starts when we make that commitment to Jesus. Eternal life starts when we make that commitment to Jesus. And we can know that we're storing up grace and blessings for our future and for our present. But if we continue to get things backwards, upside down and inside out, we'll miss out on what truly matters and what truly lasts. So just to wrap up, on this first Sunday of the new church year, on this Happy New Year Sunday, on this small group sign up Sunday, let's check our priorities. Let's change them where we need to. What is God saying to us right now in our lives about what that might look like? Is God saying, "I love you, I want you to know my love, put your faith in Jesus"? Is God saying, "I love you and I want you to grow in your faith and become more like Jesus"? Which means I want you to start doing something and I want you to stop doing something. Maybe join a small group as a first step. Maybe volunteer to run a small group. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while and you haven't been baptized. And Jesus talks to us about being baptized once we believe as a testimony to God's presence in our life. And maybe one of the reasons that we don't always sense, or we don't often sense God's presence, is we haven't lived that life of obedience in getting baptized. I'm looking to do another baptismal service before Christmas. If anyone's interested in that, please come and speak to me. Maybe God's saying, get more active in the life of the church. Check your giving. Do you start your month by saying, this much is God's, I'm going to set that aside for him? Or do you finish the month by saying, I've got this bit left, God can have that? Maybe God's saying, I want you to become more visible as a Christian in your place of work, in your front line. Doesn't mean you have to get a baseball cap with I love Jesus on it and a really, really big Bible to carry around so that everyone can see it. It means living life in accordance with the love and the grace and the Word and Spirit of God. What does it mean for me to be a Christian who is a teacher? What does it mean for me to be a Christian who works in a bank? What does it mean for me to be a Christian who works for a charity? What does it mean for me to be a Christian who is retired? Unemployed? Single, married, and so on. What does it mean? We're going to be still before God for a few moments and invite him to seal his word to us on our hearts. And guess what we're asking is, Lord, what are your priorities for me as I start this new season? What are your priorities for Biggleswade Baptist Church? And how can I get involved? So let's be quiet before God now and think that through.
Obedience doesn't always feel like joy in the moment. Sometimes it feels like grief. It can feel like letting go of the future you imagined, releasing relationships you want to cling to, or stepping into a path that you don't yet understand. But even in the ache, God is shaping something deeper in us. Every surrender, though costly, is an act of trust that his plans are higher than ours and his timing is never wrong. What feels like loss in our hands is often the beginning of life in his.
Place a response and a song of response. And it's very easy just to sing these words and to enjoy the tune, but we want to actually mean what we're singing, because this is a serious challenge from God. And the song is, Lord, you have my heart. That's where I want my focus to be. That's where I want my attention to be. And then it goes on, it says, and I will search for yours. So when we give ourselves wholeheartedly to him, and then we search for his heart, that's what the life of the disciple is about. And he says that those who seek will find. Those who knock on the door will have it answered. God loves us to seek him, but it's not like a normal game of hide and seek, because the object is that he is found, and in finding him we find more of ourselves. So you might want to remain seated and be in a bit of a prayerful stance for this, or you may think, well, I'm going to stand and declare my commitment to God that way, or you might even want to kneel. Do what feels right as we sing, Lord, you have my heart. close our service, there's a couple of things to remind you of, encourage you to do. First of all, the prayer team will be down the front if you want to pray through anything that God may have said to you this morning, or you came needing prayer for something. Please do make use of the prayer team there. Please do go and have a look at the stalls for the small groups. Find one that tickles your interest and sign up for it and come along to it. Get to know others better, get to know God better. And go from this place with the words of that song in our heads as well as our hearts. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. And as we give you our hearts, as we search for your heart, Lord, we believe you will show your face. And we believe that we will see your glory here, in this place, in our homes, our places of work, wherever our front lines are. Lord, help us to make you our priority and allow you to move in ways that we could only dream about. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest on each and every one of us as we search for his heart, as we live for his glory. And all God's people said, Amen.